Jesus' name we pray, and we all say, amen. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Job. We're going to cover about five chapters tonight, but of course not every verse. And we're going to be in let's just go ahead and turn to chapter 34 tonight. We'll be there briefly. But as we return tonight to Job, who is in the ash heap, remember, with his three friends. There's also, we were introduced the last time, and we've been out of Job now for a whole month. Can you believe that? Over a month. But the last time we were together, there in the ash heap, with Job and his suffering, and the three buddies that he are not comforters, but they should be comforting him, we're introduced to a new voice, a very young man named Elihu. And if you remember from our studies, or if you have read through it a couple of times, you remember that this man called Elihu, this young fellow who he spoke at the very end, he's a very angry man. And he's going to bring all types, or what he thinks are all types of correction to Job, to Job's friends, and so forth. But we're going to learn that he really doesn't know much at all, okay? So with all that said, he not only is he angry, but he's just long-winded. I mean, this guy is just a talker. He just goes on and on and on. And he's often very repetitive. If you really study out those five chapters that the Lord has given unto him, or the Holy Spirit has given unto him. So remember that Job's friends, they believe that the reason that he is suffering is because he has sinned. His children are dead. He's lost his health. He's lost his wealth. He's lost everything. Boils all over his body. He's scraping his skin with those broken pieces of pottery. Worms are crawling through his flesh and all the rest of it. It's horrible, man. He's near death. And they believe the reason for his suffering is because he refuses to repent. But we know that Job hasn't sinned. I mean, I'm talking about we all sin, but he hasn't committed a sin. Amen? God, read chapter 1, verse 8. God says, there is no one on the face of the earth like my servant Job. So they're all wrong. Elihu's wrong. Everybody is wrong except God. And so in the long run, Elihu, who accuses Job of running with the wicked people and living with sinners, which we know is not true, Elihu, in the long run, listen carefully now, he absolutely adds little to the book of Job, okay? Not that the Lord doesn't want us to understand all that he's saying, but he just adds so little and he makes so little difference. Therefore, with all that being said, we're not going to cover every chapter from Elihu. I don't personally care for the man, okay? Now, come on. That doesn't mean I don't love him. I just said I didn't care for him, all right? I'm sure when I see him in heaven, I'll ask him why he was such long-winded or whatever. But in chapter 33, you know, if we just talk about 33 just for a moment, there, Elihu is going to tell Job, I'm your spokesman. I'm going to be your mediator. Man, I'm going to go to God for you, and we're going to get all of this settled. And he tells Job, just hold your peace, Job. And then he looks at Job in the eyes, and he says, I'll teach you some wisdom, Job. Meaning, Job, you don't have any wisdom. Do you follow me? He's always beating Job up. Now, and then in chapter 34, if you look, just look at chapter 34, verse 34, and look what he says now to everyone. He's talking to the people in the ash heap, the three friends of Job and Job himself. He says, men of understanding say to me, wise men who listen to me. Now, listen to what he says. Job speaks without knowledge. His words are without wisdom. In other words, Job's blind. He's ignorant. He has no insight about what's going on. Oh, that Job were tried to the utmost. In other words, Job's a rebel. He needs to be tested to the man to the very max in suffering so God can convince him of this wrong, that this sin that he has committed. He says, because his answers are like those wicked men. Ooh, that's a bad thing to say about Job. It's untrue. He said, for he adds rebellion to his sin. Look what he says Job does. He claps. That means he does so in contempt. He mocks God. It says, he claps his hand among us and multiply his words against us. However, now in chapter 35, Elihu brings us an incredible, profound truth. He brings us, if you will, a jewel or a nugget in Scripture. I want you to look at Job 35, beginning in verse 9 tonight, as we talk about night songs, beginning in verse 9. He goes on and he says this, a wonderful truth. He says, because of the multitude of oppressions, they cry out. And they cry out for help because of the arm of the mighty. Now, he's condemning Job again, okay? He's cutting him down. But then he says something. But no one says, where is God, my maker, who gives songs in the night? And the church says, amen. Boy, there's nothing like our God. Amen? And he does. Now listen, this is a truth, and you need this. I need this. Every Christian needs this. God does give songs in the night. And you know what? God gave Job a song that we have been singing for centuries. Amen? Remember what he says? I know that my Redeemer lives. Yes, we've been singing that song. Everywhere you go in this world, in any generation, have you ever noticed how many songs there are, people singing all the time? I mean, there's people, they go to work and they sing. You can see people driving on 820 and they're singing or something. They're moving their mouth, right? And then some of them are moving their bodies. I'm not beating them up. I'm just saying. But everywhere you go, I mean, the bars, the nightclubs, the taverns, whatever they're called today, do they have their songs? Yes. They had them when I was young. Now they have them while I'm middle age. Rough crowd, isn't it? Yeah, I know. That's okay. I'm prepared for you. You know, if you turn on the TV, there's always music. Commercials have music. Movies have music. You go into the restaurant, I'm not going to say the name of it, but if you go in there, the music is so loud, louder than that sneeze. Loud, praise the Lord. You know what I mean? I mean, you can't even talk to your wife. It's so loud. It's on Camp Bowie, but I'll not tell you where it's at. Man, that music is loud. So there's music, there's songs always playing. Have you ever noticed that the devil has songs? You know, you could do a rap song to that. His, you know, I want to kill you, I want to destroy you, I want to, you know. That's his song, isn't it? And then, you know, the world is just flooded with songs in every generation. But Elihu does say, bring forth a great truth. He says, God, our living God, our Father, which art in heaven, he gives songs. And he does so in the night, when we're troubled, when we're lonely, when we're hurting. God, our Maker, he is the one who giveth songs in the night. And so many people, you know what they do? It's unfortunate, but you know, they wait until trouble comes, and then they cry out to God, and that's okay. But we should be crying out to God every day, amen? Oh, listen, if you're going through something, don't look to your right or to your left for answers. If you want to look, look up. You know, look up to the Lord. You know, the Bible is very clear. It says, I will lift mine eyes up until the hills whence cometh my help, for my help cometh from the Lord who created the heavens and the earth. Amen? Psalm 121:1. Oh, listen, God is so good. And you know, if you read the Psalms where it says we never need to be afraid by the terrors by night, we don't have to be afraid. Or the pestilence that come at noonday, we don't have to be afraid of any of those things. Why? Because we have made the Lord God our refuge. Amen? Oh, so thankful that that's the truth. And we know that we've done that. Have you ever noticed that mainly everything in the world, not everyone or every insect or every animal, but nearly everything sleeps at night? You ever notice that? No, Bill, I was sleeping. How would I know? You know, but we have a God that never sleeps nor never slumbers. And he is the God, our Maker. He is the one who gives songs in the night. And loved one, if we were really and truly honest with ourselves, we've all had night songs, haven't we? All of us had those kind. You know, there's nights that, you know, you just pray. Your nights of just crying out to God. Or maybe you're worried about health or your wife's health or your husband's, your child, or your little baby's got a horrible flu or the cold. You know what I'm talking about. You sleep so lightly because you want to hear them. You know what I'm talking about. We all have nights that are just, well, they're just rough. Sometimes, unfortunately, we have nights of worry. I don't want to worry. I know that worry pretends that there is no God, but we do sometimes worry. You know, sometimes we have nights and we lie awake, and we're doubting. God, where are you? Same thing that Elihu said to Job. Where are you, God? Where's my maker? Where are you? I need your help. I need to hear from you. Sometimes we have nights, you know, where we're discouraged, and there are nights that if you've lost a loved one, your spouse or whatnot, there's nights in that bed that you're so lonely. Do you understand? We have all been there. And sometimes we have those nights of tears and discouragement, and sometimes we just have those nights that seem like they will never, ever end. But for the Christian, he can say in the middle of the night, in the bed, no matter what you're facing, no matter the hurt or whatever it might be, we have a God who gives songs in the night. Amen. And that's what's so important. And you know, we need a song from the Lord, or he wouldn't have said, God who gives songs in the night. What a great title for God. You know, we don't need the songs of the world. Did you know that? Man, that'll get you in trouble. I mean, the songs of the world, who wants those when the hour is dark? I mean, don't turn to country and western. No, I'm serious. Man, you know, sometimes, I know this will sound terrible, but in my office, sometimes on Monday, because see, Monday's, you can ask any pastor, how do you feel on Monday? I want to retire. No. It's just a fact. It doesn't mean you don't love the Lord or the congregation or any of that. It's Monday. Now you have to get pregnant all over again to give out the word. Does that make sense? There's nothing wrong with that. Tuesday's a great day. Monday, you're tired. That's just the way it is. So sometimes I come into my office and I put on a little country and western song so everybody can hear it. You know that song. Make the world go away. Get it off. My show. Remember that? Say the things you used to say. Eddie Arnold. They don't like it. They don't even enjoy it, but I torture them, okay? But, I mean, that's just the way it is, you know. And, I mean, we could go through and talk about all kinds of songs. I mean, you know, I read one the other day. I was listening on the radio, and it says, I want a cold beer. No, I want a beer as cold as my ex-wife's heart. That's country and western. Don't listen to that junk. If you want to listen to something that's going to edify you, turn on the Beatles. You know what I mean? Yesterday, you remember that song? All my troubles seem so far away, but now I know they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Oh, never mind. You want the next verse? Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over. Now that'll lift you up, won't it? No. Are y'all with me tonight? Okay. Now, no, we don't need those kind of songs, loved one. What we need is a night song from God whenever we're in that dark time. You know, it's the Bible tells us, in the psalmist has written that his song, God's song, it will be with you in the night. Man, that is a great scripture, and that's a great word, loved one, because that's when I want, when I'm going through something, I need to hear from the Lord. You know, and we want to make sure that, to believe that God not only has a song for you, but God is the author of that song. You understand? God Almighty, the one who loves you. You know, and a lot of times Christians get in trouble because they're singing the wrong song. Oh, God, why don't you care for me? Why don't you help me? Well, that's a terrible song to sing, isn't it? 1 Peter 5:7, you know, it says, casting all your care upon the Lord because he careth for you. No, we don't want to sing songs like that. You want to sing a song, sing a day song. Sometimes, you know what I do? I just start singing, yes, Jesus loves me. You know what I mean? And I just sing it to myself. You know why? It builds me up. Amen? There's something about singing to the Lord that does those things. Now, it says that God has a song for you. It says, where is God, my maker, who gives songs in the night? Now, that is actually suggesting that when we are in darkness, in other words, we don't know what to do, it's suggesting that we do sing to the Lord in those times. You see, the Bible tells us, it says in Psalm 149:5, let the saints be joyful in glory. It says, let them sing aloud on their beds. You know, if you're depressed, and I pray you're not, but let's say you're going home now, you're just down. Why don't you just start singing to the Lord? You know, go pull out what song, the 23rd Psalm or something. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. And start singing it unto the Lord. I promise you, you're going to feel better if you'll do that, because the Word of God is living. It's alive. It's active. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll pierce into the very depths of your being. Amen. That's why God's Word is so good. Whenever Paul, in Acts chapter 19, whenever he was at Corinth, remember what happened? It says that the Lord appeared unto Paul in a vision, but it was in the night. And he said, oh, Paul, don't be afraid. Nobody's going to hurt you. No one's going to hurt you here. The Lord goes on and says, don't be silent. He says, for I am with you. No one's going to attack you. No one's going to hurt you. I have many people in this city. And Paul continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. What would you do tonight? Think about it for a moment. When you think about, take Habakkuk. The word Habakkuk in Hebrew means to embrace. And remember, the theme of Habakkuk is faith. The just shall live by faith. And can you imagine being a prophet and God comes to you and says, you know what? Judah's in trouble. You guys, I've begged you over and over and over and over to repent and get right with me, but you would not. Therefore, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to send and surround you with the worst, most wicked, ungodly, heathenistic army in the entire world. And they're going to come in and they're going to take you, and there's not one thing you can do about it. What a horrible, dark night that would be. Amen. And you know what happened when God told him what was going to happen? Do you know that Habakkuk nearly collapsed? Listen to his words. Let me read it to you in Habakkuk 3:16. Habakkuk says, oh, when I heard what God said, my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones. That means I couldn't stand up anymore. And I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. In other words, rest in faith. And when he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops, meaning the Babylonian army. They are coming, and Habakkuk, there is not one thing you can do about it. Do you remember the song that God gave to Habakkuk the prophet? In the night, what he said, let me read it to you. He says in Habakkuk 3:17, and he cries out and he says, oh, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit beyond the vines, and though the labor of the olive tree may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls. What is he saying? I know that everything's getting ready to perish. I know that everything in that my way of life, all that I hold dear, is getting ready to be gone. Man, that's a tough thing, isn't it? And he goes on and he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Not in those horrible circumstances that came against the southern kingdom, but he will rejoice in the Lord, the object. Again, Habakkuk means to embrace, and we are to embrace faith and believe and trust in the Lord. Listen to how he goes on. He goes, and the Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like the deer's feet. He'll make me walk on my high hills, not high heels, but high hills. You know what I'm saying? And then it says, here it comes, the reason I know it's a song. It says, to the chief musician with my stringed instruments. You know, there's something about song. You know, some of the greatest hymns ever composed were composed in the darkest hours of the hymn writer's life. There are night songs whenever it is the darkest. You take Charlotte Elliott, whenever she penned It Is or Just As I Am, incredible. Billy Graham used it for years, you know, in his crusades. And yet when she penned that, she was a helpless invalid. Or you take William Cooper. Oh, man, you're talking about a story. I mean, this man lived a life so full of despair. It was just heartbreaking if you read about this gentleman. He tried to end his life many times, but he tried to end his life first by swallowing poison. He wanted to die, but it failed. Then he went to the Thames River there, and he said, I'm going to jump off the bridge. But as he tried to jump off the bridge, he felt something restraining him from leaping over. And then the next thing he did the next morning, he took out a knife. He was going to kill himself, and he was going to fall on the knife. And as he fell on the knife, the knife literally broke the blade. Can you believe that? And not only that, it gets worse. Are you ready for this? He was so discouraged, he went out, purchased a rope, went to a tree, nearby tree. He hung himself. He was unconscious. He was dying. Someone just happened to pass by. They cut down the rope. They brought him back to life and revived him. You know what I'm saying? And not only that, later on, you know what he did? He picked up a Bible, and as he was reading Romans, something came upon his heart, and it was as he was reading Romans that he gave us this song in the night that you know very well, where he penned these words. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunged beneath that flood leaves all their guilty stains. What a great word, amen? But it was in the darkness of his life. Now listen, that doesn't end right there. You know what he did? This man was so plagued with horrifying depression that he often attempted to take his life. And as he did, he would often write some of the greatest hymns that were ever written. But one time, he was always afraid, I should say most of his life, that he was afraid that God had abandoned him, that God had just turned his back upon him. So on his last night upon the deathbed, you know what happened? As he was there, God gave him the last song in the night. And it says that he uttered these last words. Here they are. He says, oh gosh, I'm not shut out of heaven after all. And that's the way God is. Amen. Now, you know, when we start thinking about all of this and you think about Paul and Silas, remember in Acts chapter 16, there they were. Paul had cast out that demon from that little girl, the damsel who was made her master's a fortune tellers. In other words, she had the spirit of Pythian, if you study it out. And so whenever she was finally, Paul delivered her and so forth, man, there was an uproar in the city and everything. And it says in Acts 16:22, it says, then the multitude rose up together against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates, they tore off their clothes. In other words, they stripped them. And commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanded the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, listen carefully now, the jailer put them into the inner prison, which is the dungeon, the inner prison, and fastened their feet in the stocks. Well, you can't get out of the inner prison. Do you understand? It's the dungeon. There's no way you can get out. But yet, what did they do? There's no air. There's not a drop of fresh air. It's full of stench because, see, the dungeon is where the sewer was located, and there's absolutely no light in that dungeon. And what did they do to Paul and Silas? You know the story just as well as I do. The Romans had a way of really torturing you. What they did, they had stocks, and they would put your legs, stretch out your legs as far as they could this way and pull them as far as they could this way. Then they would bend you over and put you to stocks and stretch you out this way. And they would leave you in that condition. Can you imagine that? That's the condition that they were in. You know the story. It says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas, they were praying. Here it is, singing hymns to God. And I love this part. And the prisoners were listening to them. In the Greek, it means they were listening to Paul and Silas sing with deep pleasure in their hearts, as if they were listening to beautiful music. Can you imagine being in that condition? Charged but not guilty? No fresh air, the stench of the sewer, no light, stretched out in the stocks, your back beaten and stripped completely open. You know, you've heard me probably preach Acts 16 many times. It's one of my favorite chapters in the book of Acts. But you know what? Was the pain real, loved one? Yes. Was the darkness real? Yes. The loneliness real? I'm sure it was. You know? And there they are, and all of a sudden they moved from the visible to the invisible. What do you do when you're having problems? What's your theology on that? You better move to the invisible realm, amen? To the Lord who loves you. And it says, as they were singing these hymns, it says, suddenly there was a great or a violent earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. Now, that's what I call a night song. Amen? I mean, man, Paul and Silas are praying. Paul and Silas are singing hymns to the Lord, and I'm sure that's God who has given them a song in the night. And, man, everything is shaking. The prisoners are listening. The earthquake, the doors are open. Chains are coming loose from all the prisoners. That's what I call a revival. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors opening, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Remember, because Roman law, if you were the guard and you lost a prisoner, you're going to die, okay? So it says he was about to kill himself, but Paul called with a loud voice and said, goodbye. No. If he had beaten me, what would you do? Oh, yeah, no. No, Paul, he says, oh, don't harm yourself. We're all here. And then he called for a light, and he ran in, and he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, oh, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's the most important question in the world, isn't it? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and all of your household. You know, what a glorious thing. Because we're saved tonight. You know, a little Wednesday night service, a little simple Bible study, but the Lord is here. And he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. When we believe, and you know what we believe, when we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe, be my Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, Romans 10:9 says, God will save you. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. And, you know, it says, and then they spake the word of the Lord to him, and all went into the house, and they took them the same hour. And it says, and listen to what he did. His first act as a believer, the jailer, he washed all of their stripes. What a glorious thing. And immediately he and his family were baptized. It says again, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to the Lord, and the prisoners were listening to them. I believe with all of my heart that was a supernatural song, hymn given by the Lord God. The reason I say that is because all that occurred, everything that occurred as they were singing, was it supernatural? I mean, the doors opening, the prisoners' chains falling off. Man, listen, that's what you call a supernatural night. I wish when we sang that happened here, amen? Yes, Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, any fool can sing in the day. It's easy to sing when we can read the notes by daylight, but the skillful singer is he who can sing when there is not a ray of light to read by. Songs in the night, Spurgeon says, come only from God. They are not in the power of men. You know, I know that all of us, we've all experienced strange things. You know what I mean? Now, some of you probably say, yes, God did give me a song in the night. You know, I've had some weird things, and I don't know if it's because I'm a weirdo or what, and I am a weird guy, but you know what? I'll never forget when I left the first pastorate. I had not now started Calvary Chapel at all. I was just flying around wherever the Lord would lead, and I'd be preaching all over the nation, wherever I was invited. And matter of fact, Calvary Chapel wasn't even on my heart. And I'll never forget one night, Rebecca and I had turned in. The lights were out, and we did not hear singing, but I heard a trumpet go off in our bedroom. Now, I know, I'm sorry, but it's true. And so I thought, I must be crazy. And so about 10 minutes went by, and I could tell my wife wasn't asleep. And I said, honey, she said, did you hear that too? And I said, what was that? She said, I don't know. And I said to her, I believe that it's announcing something that's getting ready to happen in our lives. And do you know what happened? This is true. The next day, or maybe it was 2 days later, I had a phone call, and it was from a very wealthy individual that I had done some work for. And again, long before we started this work here, and he said, I hear that you need a new truck. I said, yeah, where'd you hear that from? He said, well, I just heard that you need a new truck. He said, I want you to go down to the Ford house and pick out any truck you want. I'm going to buy it for you. I did. Listen, do you understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying that are you with me? Listen, God is a supernatural God. I mean, my truck wouldn't go over 40 miles an hour. I told you the story about that old truck. In my first pastorate, I'd get on the freeway, but the engine was shot. It would only go 45 miles an hour. Man, people, they hated me. Do you understand? I had to drive on the shoulder. I was so embarrassed. I mean, and I had a hill in my home where we lived, and it would barely make it up that hill. I mean, every day I just said, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. And then if you could imagine trying to work, you know, as I did in my first pastorate, you know, because I worked all the time, full time. And then there you are, and you're out there, and you're driving a truck that goes 45 miles an hour, didn't have the money to get it fixed. Man, listen, and then God comes through. There's something about God who gives us a song in the night. That was a little instrumental for me. Now, I don't know why. But I know God does strange things, and his ways are past finding out. Amen? That was so long ago the Lord did that. But I'm so thankful that he does things like that. You see, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:15, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. When it says I will sing with the Spirit, that's talking about the Holy Spirit giving you a song in your heart. That comes directly from heaven. It says in Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Here it is, speaking to one another in psalms. That is music put to stringed instruments, if you will, and hymns. And then it says spiritual songs. Spiritual songs are those that are given by the Holy Spirit. In other words, God who giveth songs in the night, loved one. Spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Listen, it is times like that, in the dark times, when you're all alone, you're there by yourself, or your spouse is with you, whatnot. And it says nights when you are crying out to God. It's times of deep intimacy when the Holy Spirit starts working in your heart. Man, we need that. We need that assurance at times. Do you know that? That we're in a war. The devil hates you, loved one. Oh, listen, that night song starts rising in our hearts. It says in Psalm 42:5, why are you downcast, O my soul? So the psalmist, he's asking himself a question. He says, why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. That's a great word. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh, from the land of Jordan to the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mizar. He says, here it comes. You ready for this one? The Lord will command. That's a royal decree. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. Listen carefully. And in the night, his song, God's song, his song shall be with me. Loved one, there's something about that that's so deep. Psalm 40, verse 3, he has put a new song in my mouth. Job 35:10, God who gives songs in the night. Did you know that God must really like to sing too? Because it tells us in Zephaniah 3:16, in that day it will be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion, and let your hands Let not your hands be weakened. Here's the reason why. Talking about when, and this is the second coming. It says, and the Lord your God in your midst. In other words, he's going to live among you again. It says, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Here it comes. He will quiet you with his love. Quiet, that word means rest. He will rest you with his love. The word rest is not referring to rest. It's referring to a person, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen? It says, he will rest you with his love. Here it comes. He will rejoice. God will rejoice over you with singing. The next time that you find yourself alone in the middle of the night, sometimes if you're like me, you wake up in the middle of the night. And the first thing that when you went to sleep, what you were thinking about pops right back into your mind. It could be a burden for someone else or a burden for your family, or maybe it's a burden about yourself. You know, and maybe that night, like David did, he bathed his bed in tears. Remember that? He just wept. And sometimes we do weep. We don't want to tell anybody because we're John Wayne. You know what I mean. But sometimes in the lonely times of the middle of the night, there's things that are so troubling us that we do weep. We shed tears. The next time you do that, you know what you need? You need to sing Psalm 56:8. God, you keep a bottle for my tears. And you write them down in the book of your remembrance. Amen. Every tear, not tears, every tear. Every tear you cry, God, okay, I know why. I know why. I know why. And he puts them in a bottle. Can you believe that? Puts them in a bottle. And then if you read on in Psalm 56, I think it's verse 9, it says, and why is all this? For this I know, that God is for me. God is for you, loved one. You know, that scripture, you know, the one I just read to you, that God puts your tears in a bottle. You know, in my early days, I think I've shared this story probably with you, but it bears repeating tonight. When I was a young pastor, there, just starting, there was a little girl. Her name was Jennifer. She was 12 years old in the congregation. She had the longest brown hair, skinny as a rail. She was just so sweet. And in the city where I pastored, she was kidnapped by two men who took her to an abandoned building and raped her repeatedly. It was horrible. My heart so broke for her. They put her into therapy, of course, the hospital therapy, this and that. She was just so withdrawn, and it was terrifying. And nothing would help her. And every time I taught, if you need prayer, come to the altar. And Jennifer would come to the altar every time, weeping. And we would pray over her, but nothing happens. Nothing happened at all. And then one night, it was a Sunday night service, As she was coming down to the altar, and there she was. I mean, the tears that were falling out of her eyes, my heart was breaking. And I said to the Lord no one heard me. I said, don't you have anything for this girl? Can you not help her? It's breaking my heart. And as God is my witness, he said to this, go over to her and say, Jennifer, every tear that you cry, God puts in a bottle. Every tear. And he writes them in a book of remembrance. And I did that just like he told me. I went right over to her. Nothing. And as the Lord is my witness, he said, take that bottle. Which there was no bottle, but take that bottle and say, Jennifer, every tear that you have cried right now over this horrible thing that's happened to you, the Lord said for me to take this bottle of tears and pour it back over you, and God will heal you. I just said, Jennifer, these are your tears. God says they bring healing to you. she was instantly delivered. Instantly delivered. God is a supernatural God. And she gets up, her tears were gone from her face. She runs back into the arms of her mother and her father. She was made 100% whole. There are things that we don't understand. We don't understand how God works, but I tell you, He gives a song at the altar. He gives a song in your night times that are so troublesome. God is always for us. It says in Psalm 32:7, He says, "Oh, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble." Here it is. "You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." Selah. That word Selah, pause, ponder, think about it. Dwell upon it. Meditate upon that truth. The word deliverance there means to be rescued. Rescued from sin. Amen? We've been redeemed. We're rescued from Satan and the death and hell and all the rest of it. You see, God is always surrounding you with songs of deliverance. You need to open your ears. Amen? Open them. Open the spiritual ears of your heart and say, "Lord, I know you're singing over me. I know that you've surrounded me with songs of deliverance." That's what God does. When you get to chapter 36 and 37, Elihu finally gets a little better, if you don't mind me putting it that way, because he's going to talk about the goodness of God and God's majesty. Verse 26 of chapter 36 says this, "Behold, God is great, and we do not know him." See, he's finally saying, okay, I've run out of words, okay? Because I don't know what's happening. I don't understand any of it, nor can anyone number his years. So Elihu is going to bring everything, his speech, to a close. Now remember this. Elihu told Job way back, he said, "Job, don't worry. I'm going to be your mediator. I'm going to talk to God on your behalf. We're going to get all this worked out." But you know what? Elihu wasn't a mediator. He wasn't a prophet. He didn't help Job at all. Matter of fact, in the very end, he finally says, "I don't guess I understand God either." Neither did Job's three friends, and neither did Job, as we're going to find out. You know, it says in Job 37:22 that God, he comes from the north with golden splendor, and with God is awesome majesty. As for the Almighty, listen to what Elihu finally says, "We can't find him. He's excellent in power, in judgment, abundant in justice. He does not oppress. Therefore, men fear him, for he shows no partiality to anyone who is wise of heart." So I believe in that last statement of Elihu, there must have been something happening to the north or the south or wherever it was. There must have been some cloud coming or something appearing, because obviously there was some kind of storm is brewing there in the distance, and maybe rain started finally falling. I don't know. But I probably, Job's three friends and Elihu, man, they got out of there and left Job all alone in the ash heap. And you know what God's about to do? In the midst of all of Job's suffering, he's about to tell Job and give Job a song in the night. It says in Job 38:1, "And then the Lord answered Job." Boy, it had been all 38 chapters. We finally made it. You understand? He says, "Oh, the Lord answered Job," and it came out of the what? The whirlwind. We're God's whirlwind. Amen? Yes. "Answered Job out of the whirlwind and said," the next time, the Lord willing, if we're still all here and God hasn't taken us home in the rapture, the next time we're going to look at the longest recorded speech by God in the entire Bible. And it begins in chapter 38. Loved one, listen to me. Tonight when you go home, and every night from now on, before you go to bed, ask God, "God, you give songs in the night. Maybe you need a song. You might need direction." Do you understand? I mean, God is supernatural. I'll take whatever the Lord wants to give me, won't you? Absolutely. Maybe you need a direction to go to the right or to the left or whatever it might be. God can drop it into your heart. He can drop it into your spirit. He can just give you a word, just one word that can change your entire life, your entire direction. Be expectant. Listen, I tell you what, God wants to speak to you more than you want to speak to him. Do you hear me? He wants to open up. He wants you to hear him because nobody loves you like God. God loves you so much, he sent his only begotten son. Amen. Jesus Christ to die for all of us. I'm so thankful that God gives songs in the night. Stop singing your song and listen for his. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for this big, long, difficult book called Job. And Lord, I know that you give songs in the night. I know that you're a healer, a deliverer. You do things that are past finding out. And Lord, I know that sometimes you call us to do things that seem so strange and so odd. Don't ever let us worry, Lord, about what other people may think. Because every time you've ever called me to do something that seems so odd or out of place, I've witnessed a miracle. Lord, whatever you call us to do, let us do it with joy and with love. Because you love us. I give you praise tonight, Lord, for the peace that you've put into our hearts that passes all understanding. I give you praise tonight for Jesus Christ, who loves us, died for us, became one of us, and is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, there upon that precious throne of grace that we can come to by virtue of the blood of Christ. Bless your people tonight, Lord. Maybe they're in despair. Maybe they're hurting, some of them. I don't know. Give them a song tonight. Give them a song on the way home. Lord, wake them up in the middle of the night. Give them a song. Lord, give this church your song. And let us sing, as the psalmist has said, the high praises of God. Now we love you, we praise you, we honor you tonight in this place. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, shall we?